talking a lot about. And, you know, I will, so just so if you feel a little bit better about it, that as educators, we're trying to make sure that, you know, learning is, it is a choice. So you can, I tell my students, I'm like, you can skim your way through this class 100%. Probably could have done that before computers or before AI. But if you want to learn, that's going to be up to you. So anyways, it was a really interesting discussion. But I am here today not to talk about AI, but to just, again, introduce myself. If I haven't met you, I'm the past president of the League of Oregon Cities. And I'm
this is making government interesting in communications.
The Spring Conference, we're the little gem on the coast, we're the bend with the beach, as I like to say. I'm also, you know, continuing on as past president on the League of Oregon Cities board. So if you're ever interested in finding out more about that or how you can get involved as a board of directors, just reach out to me after the session. I'd love to talk to you about it. So the session that we're in today is kind of crazy. If you look at the title, it says Making Government Interesting, and I'm a little offended because isn't it always, you know, interesting? I mean, we're already there, but I like to learn too, so I want to hear more. After this session concludes today, we do want you to take a moment to provide us with your feedback. That's the only way that these sessions can improve and the conferences can improve, so please take a moment to fill out the feedback. You can do this by clicking on the session in the conference app and then clicking on the feedback form. So if you don't see the feedback button, then you'll need to add the session to your conference's agenda. This session is being sponsored by HomeServe USA, and I want to make sure that I say a very warm welcome to Dennis Lyon. He's the Strategic Partnership Manager for HomeServe USA. They've been a longtime partner of the city of North Bend, and I always like to give them a shout out. I have a lot of happy customers in town of their product who've always said that they have saved them in many scenarios. And also, they're very responsive. If you've ever had questions from residents that you don't know how to quite answer, they always get back to us really quickly. So we appreciate our partnership with them in North Bend, and I'll go ahead and pass it over to Dennis.
That's our HomeServe person.
Again, my name is Dennis Lyon with HomeServe.
Right
up there. Very good. We're proud to sponsor this session on making government interesting. I'm happy to be here. It's good to see some familiar faces as well as new faces. I always enjoy coming to Oregon. We've been business partners since 2018, and we enjoy being here and having the opportunity to do things like this and introduce our services. So just in a nutshell, basically what we do is at absolutely no cost to your community, we partner with you to proactively educate homeowners that the water and sewer line on their property are their responsibility, and we give them a completely voluntary option that they can participate in to guard themselves against the hassles and expense of finding a contractor, covering the cost of the repair, and so on. So it's really a simple program. We administer every aspect of it for you, but we do it with your oversight as well. I am in booth number 14 at the back of the exhibit hall facing the stage. If you'd like to talk to me about more details and what it is that we do, I'm happy to speak with you. And that being said, I'm going to get out of your way so that they can take over. So I'd like to introduce the speakers, and I want to make sure I get the names correctly. So we have Emmanuel Goicoechea, who is the Communications Director from Independence, and John Burbine, who is the Assistant City Manager for Independence. So please join me in welcoming them.
Can y'all hear me? Perfect. Good. Great. Got to lead. Okay. Again, my name is Emmanuel Goicoechea. I'm the Communications Director at the City of Independence, and I've been with the city for close to 4.5 years.
And I'm Sean Irvine. I'm Assistant City Manager. I've actually been with the city about 20 years. I'm going to be the color commentary today.
And if you don't know, Independence is a city of over 10,000 folks in rural Polk County, and in my opinion, we're the best city in the world. So, sorry about it. And so this presentation is obviously about how to make government interesting, but it's mainly going to focus on it's going to be on the fact that you kind of have a basic understanding of what communications is at this point. So think of social media, videos, Twitter, newsletters, and things like that. And hopefully you have some sort of established communication channels already in place a Facebook, and Instagram. If you don't have any of those things in place, you can come back and give a more granular presentation. But mainly, again, this will focus on how to make those things that you already have more interesting. So, just to get started, so you think you can communicate, it's easier said than done. It's a science. It's not a rocket science, but it does require deliberate thought. I mean, as we all know, skepticism and trust in local government is at an all-time, skepticism is at an all-time high, trust is at an all-time low, and our cities are no different. And so, in my opinion, to win back public trust, to really get people to buy into the stuff that we do every day, you got to show them what you're doing, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And at its basic, communications is about storytelling. People connect through stories, and stories connect through people. So we're going to go into detail about how independence goes about this, what the history of that looks like, and how we practice it in the natural world. So, just to give a little bit of background, in around 2019 to 2020, independents went through their regular visioning process that they have gone through over the past 20, 30 years. And that process was called Independence Vision 2040. And that process involved over 2,000 residents across our entire city. And during that process, it was discovered that the community really longed for a better connection between themselves and the stuff that was happening at the city. And in that visioning process, it was discovered that independents really needed to hire a communications professional. And here I am. So it was good to see that plan really come to fruition at the end of that process.
And the other thing that we really saw was, like a lot of smaller communities, we did not have local media. We had the Salem Statesman Journal, which occasionally publishes stories for about independence. But for the most part, there was nobody reporting news besides a local blogger who had a very particular slant on things whenever she wanted to get interested in that. So we felt there was a need for us to get accurate information out proactively, because in the absence of us pushing information out, people are going to come up with God knows what.
And so, like I said, after they did that initial visioning process, in around 2021, independents hired a marketing or a communications firm to really audit the communications that were currently going out of the city, and then create a final report that would then help whoever it is they hired to kind of get the ball rolling and not just start from square one. And that was extremely helpful for me before I started, because I actually had a roadmap to follow and build upon and improve, rather than independents just hiring somebody and expecting me to just fix it super quick. So it was really helpful that they hired an outside firm to really get the ball rolling. And that report detailed some low-hanging fruit improvements, like increased social media, but also there was some long-term improvements, like creating a new website, creating a new digital newsletter. And so, again, that report really helped me really run after I started. And to me, that really shows that it's important to have a plan in place before, again, hiring somebody and expecting them to fix it. And so, in terms of our strategy, the paramount thing that I always think of is we let our residents speak for themselves. Because to me, that increases ownership, it increases authenticity, it promotes inclusivity, and it really enables community support in our overall communication strategy. And so I would really recommend to all of you that you would assess who your community pillars are, who your advocates are, and leverage them and feature them and their voices across all of your communication channels. So that means videos, your photos, your interviews, and that can also be your staff. And as you see in later examples, we really leverage our staff to really get in front of our residents and let them speak on behalf of the city, because a lot of them do live in the town that we represent.
Pictures are a lot more interesting when people are in them. And so, sometimes you have to find models, and we have our fabulous city manager as a model here with her husband, and sometimes you got to tap the people that you know.
And so really paramount, again, to our strategy is we like to be the guide of our organization. And so how many of you are familiar with the hero's journey? You've seen Star Wars, you've seen Lord of the Rings, the hero gets called off onto this quest, they meet a guide, like a fairy godmother, and that guide really takes them through the story, and they blow up the Death Star at the end, and they win. And what I have discovered in my time as being a communications professional is that organizations, cities, businesses, they tend to see themselves as the hero of the hero's journey. But in my opinion, it's really our role to be the guide, to be the Obi-Wan, to be the Gandalf, to be the fairy godmother. and our audience, our residents, are really the heroes. How can we help them? How can we lead them to paradise? And mayors and city staff can sometimes come across as heroes, but they really need to be the guides, in my opinion. And there is a time and place for them, of course. I love our mayor. I love all mayors. But it's not always the case. And I would really look towards your other community pillars to be your heroes, and then let the city be the guide for your organization. So again, what we really encourage is when we are trying to earn trust with our community, we try to document the process of all the things that we're doing. We try to show the inner workings of what's happening in the city so that people know that we're working on behalf of them at all hours of the day. And so you'll notice in this picture, this was actually Sean, our assistant city manager, meeting with Senator Merkley's staff. And, you know, elected officials love this because it shows that they have people on boots on the ground doing the groundwork. But we also love it because it shows to our community that we're working on behalf of them, just through a picture like that.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, what's the biggest complaint about, you know, sort of city government? It's like they don't know what's going on. You know, my tax money goes into this black hole and maybe a street gets fixed, maybe something happens, but you don't know the day-to-day operations. And so this is a great way to show all the different ways that we're working on behalf of our community. And by doing that, we're building trust. We're showing them that, look, we're working on your behalf. We're working with our elected officials and their staff, and we're making things happen even though, you know, you can't actually see into the conference room.
Yeah. And by doing this, we're really building a digital bridge between our community and ourselves. And it kind of, you'll see some examples later on, but when people in our community see pictures like this, or they see videos, and they see that initial impression of you, they feel like they know you. So then when they do meet you in person at some sort of community engagement activity or a city council meeting, they feel like they know you and they can approach you a bit easier. We've had so many examples of that in the past where people can come up to you and say, hey, I saw you in that video. And it just, again, creates that bridge so that people can actually interact with you and they feel like they're talking to a real person. And so when building a communications plan, it's really important to consider the following. Classic, just listen. You know, we have two ears and one mouth. Tell interesting stories. You know, dig into your community and find out what really does make it interesting. You know, Independence was the hop capital of the world for 40 or so years back in the 1890s to the early 20th century. So we really try to capture that when it comes to our communications, like our pictures and our videos and our history. I'm really encouraged to keep it authentic. So when you're writing, talk like a normal person. You know, try to educate your community, but don't condescend to them because they're just normal people and we're normal people too. And when I first started the city, I did have to modify my diction because I was really, it was my training to just talk very with authority and try to make things very complicated. But, you know, at a certain point, I had to adjust the way I wrote because people really connect with normal language. And there's plenty of examples that we can go into later on about what words you should and shouldn't use. But again, just talk like a normal person.
To that, telling your city stories, you know, when it comes to this sort of the hero's journey and being the guide, you know, figure out what you're trying to say, like what are you trying to tell people, and then find the person or the place or the thing in your community that best illustrates that story. So rather than me, the city guy, standing up there saying, this is important, it's showing the person or the place or the thing in the community and why they believe that is important. You know, you're highlighting this person or this place, the focus is there, but as the guide, you're still sort of getting credit, you know, sort of as a side benefit of telling this story. So you're educating people, you're highlighting a local person or a place, but people also are seeing you as the one who is telling this story. And so you're still sort of in the shot, so to speak.
And showing the process, that's probably my go-to one, 100%. So if there's road work being done, get out there, take a picture of it. If you're meeting with federal staffers, get out there and take a picture of it and write a little blog post or write some little copy afterwards and push it out there and let people know what's going on. Because as so many cities across Oregon are in news deserts, it's really up to us to get information to our residents because it's so hard to get information from a legit media outlet nowadays. And finally, I would say make it accessible and inclusive. And so to me, that really means making it digital because you know, folks can't just go to the Civic Center anymore. They need to, because of COVID, it really made us transition to things being more accessible, in my opinion. And so to me, that means make it digital and make it accessible. And, you know, sometimes English doesn't really suffice So if you want to put things in multiple languages, I would encourage that. And in websites, really making sure that they're translatable for all different folks. And we made that update just a couple years ago. And I'm just going to touch on really quickly about how we get our message out there, but we really try to leverage our different communication channels, and we call that omni-channel, which means that when we shoot it out to all these different avenues, our social media, our newsletter, and our website. I would encourage you to utilize your assets. This doesn't really have to be high-tech at all, because we all have a supercomputer in our pocket nowadays that can really take care of all of this. You know, you don't need a high-tech camera. You don't need some sort of special software that shoots everything out to all different places. You can really do this just on your phone.
And to be clear, this looks like we write a story about, you know, okay, city's opening a wastewater treatment plant, whatever. We write a story about it that lives on the website, and then you have a shortened version in the e-newsletter that gets emailed out, and then you have an even shorter version that goes out on social media. But it's all the same story, smaller pieces, but it all gets broadcast in these different ways that then funnels people back to a larger information if they want to go that way.
And I do briefly want to touch upon press releases, because I've seen so many cities do this. I've written probably like 2 or 3 press releases within the past year, but not as many as one would think, you know, because, you know, I'm the PIO for the police department in our fire district. So when it comes to emergency communications, I do lean on media releases and news releases for those types of things. But when it comes to road work being done in your city, I wouldn't encourage you to write a press release. I would encourage you to just put it on Facebook, because that's when people are really going to get their information and format it for that specific channel. So Facebook, you don't have to put media release. I would just put it out there like that. And to me, you know, again, I was trained to write media releases, press releases, and things like that. And sometimes I can get kind of pissed off to think, oh my gosh, like people are just getting their information from Facebook. But rather than try to get upset about that, I just try to change with the times and how people are really getting their information nowadays, and trying to meet our community where they're at. Because at the end of the day, we're there to serve them and what our community needs.
What did you say would be appropriate for a press release?
I would encourage fewer press releases, and probably just put something on Facebook like, hey, road work, this is what's being done. And not, take a picture of the road work of what's being done, and I'll go into detail more about what that looks like.
I think what she's asking, what would be appropriate, I would say that would be like some kind of an emergency, or if we had oil water notice, or, you know, those more like a big thing happened and people, you know, kind of need to know the details about it.
So we're going to start to go into some of the examples of what this looks like in the natural world. So as some of you may have gone through recently, we went through a housing production strategy just a couple years ago. And so we were really tasked with educating the community on what is a housing production strategy, how can they benefit from it, and just how it's going to affect them. And again, you do tend to see organizations lead by being the hero. So they'll have a talking head, a representative from your community development department or whoever, really talking about what the housing production strategy is, what, you know, the timeline of it, and just kind of making it a little bit more medicated, if you will. But what we try to do is we wanted to focus on the people that this housing production strategy will actually be affecting, which is our residents. And so this picture right here, it's a screenshot of our coworker Knightley, and she is really the front desk, front-facing person of Independence. And she was born and raised in Independence. And we thought that it would be interesting to learn about her perspective on housing in our community. Because, again, she was born and raised in Independence. She was looking to buy a house in Independence, but she was unable to do so for a multitude of factors. But cost was really the important part. And so, again, rather than explaining from like a top-down view of what a housing production strategy is, we wanted to focus on it from the ground up. And so people were actually able to connect a lot more with her plight, rather than us saying this is what it is and you better buy into it. So it was easier for folks to connect with Knightley's story than our story. And again, this is us being the guide, guiding folks through a housing production strategy rather than leading through it.
We're also a population of 40% Latino, and you see, you know, we represented that. Knightley's also our front desk receptionist, so we're in effect building a relationship between people in our community who see this, so when they come into City Hall now, they're like, oh, I know you. You know, they'll have that feeling and that sense of knowing her, even though it'll be the first time they've met.
And we can just play just like 30 seconds of the clip so you kind of get an idea of what.
My name is Maya Charwalka, and I've been a resident of Independence for about 30 years.
That was also important to put in there.
So I currently live with my parents. It's a 3-bedroom, 1.5 bath, and I am looking to now move on my own. The difficulties that I've had, I mean, back in the day, it used to be so much simpler. You step in an office, you fill an application, and then you quickly move the situation. But now it's more of a, you have to do it online, and then you're waiting in front of other people. So it's like, it's a long time. And so I decided, instead of renting, I'm just going to try to see if I qualify for a home. And I did. Unfortunately, here in Independence, that need is not satisfied. So the amount that I qualify for, there is nothing within the range here in Independence. So I have to go out of the city limits, which I would prefer not to, but.
You can hear, you know, what happens when you talk about housing production in your community. People say that kind of stuff. So we're essentially showcasing and saying, look, we already understand this. We hear you all, you know, we recognize that. And that's, you know, kind of helping build that trust in this process to sort of pre-explain why we're approaching this housing production strategy.
So I'll briefly touch upon social media. This is where your community is at. You know, they're not reading newspapers. They're not coming to City Hall, unfortunately. They're not going to City Council meetings. They're on social media. It's that new town hall space that we're all getting used to dealing with. And again, you probably have this, and if you don't have social media, I would highly encourage you to get it. Because this, I will say this can be kind of a double-edged sword, because you can kind of get the pulse of your community on what they find interesting, but it can get nasty really quickly, so tread lightly. Yeah, sometimes, yeah, that could be helpful. And again, really quickly, I'll just go brush over this. This is just our strategy when it comes to social media. We try to be very consistent with it. We try to post 3 to 5 times a week. We try to tailor our messages to fit our platform. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. And, you know, each one of those platforms has a different way of speaking. So Instagram tends to be very flashy, visual focused. So I would encourage you to post pictures and stuff on there. Facebook is kind of our blog, if you will. So we put anything and everything up there. And then YouTube, you know, you probably put your city council meetings up there. But if you do videos, I would encourage you to plug it on your YouTube page and really try to grow that following like that. And if possible, I would encourage you to refer back to your website when you have larger messages that are just too long for social media, and do that as much as possible. But again, these platforms change with time, and as you may have seen recently, Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram, is actually pushing posts down that include links to outside websites because they want to keep you on their platform. So if you want people to really find out more about what it is you're doing, I would encourage you to just focus on the highlights on Facebook or something, and then maybe put a link to your website in the comments or something, because again, Meta's pushing those down, and we're just adapting all the time to meet their criteria. And so, in terms of social media, you know, branding is extremely important when it comes to social media. And this is really what keeps all of your departments, your entire city on target, and makes things really exciting to follow. When I started the city, there was a style guide, a brand for the city, but it was not being followed at all. People were coming up with all different types of things, you know, different colors, different fonts, different voices, you know, speaking in different ways. And so people were having trouble knowing what the city was in charge of and what, you know, the downtown association was in charge of. And so people were like, oh, the city is in charge of this. But it's like branding is a very psychological thing where people can connect with who your brand is just through visuals like colors and fonts and things like that.
And if I can, you know, we're trying to establish the city as a trusted news source. Like this, the place that you want to go when you look for news, and when you see it online or when you see it on social media, recognize it and say, oh, I trust these guys. You can't do that without a uniform brand, so that when they do see it online, when they do see that post on social media, they immediately recognize it because of the colors, because of the fonts, because of the way it is. They immediately say, oh, that's a City of Independence post. I can feel comfortable with that. You know, that is really the important thing on social media.
Yeah, and you'll notice just from this example right here, this is a before, this is an after. As you can tell, there's not really many faces on there. There's a bunch of text. There's no uniform to the colors or to the fonts or anything like that. And then the one on the right is the example of after we started adhering to our style guide. So you'll see uniform colors, so you see a lot more faces. That gets people to connect with their city government a lot easier. And this is another example for, this was the same event. This was advertising these holiday lights display that was happening in our downtown park. This was advertising that before I got here. A snowman with the city logo on it. What does that tell me about what's happening? No, you know, that doesn't help me connect with the cool thing that's happening in downtown. Afterwards, we have people first. We have a family that's actually enjoying the lights. So I would really encourage you to make things people-centered because people, again, they connect with other people.
And it's a small thing, but when you're talking about being the guide, you know, that picture on the right is being the guide. This is not the city saying, look, we've got this low light display. It's look at this family enjoying this wonderful holiday display in our community.
Similarly here, I've seen this quite a bit. Again, before I got here, there's going to be some sort of city closure or some sort of road closure happening in your community. But where? I don't see it. I just see some checks. And then the one on the right is our public works crew actually working during that road closure. Because again, the story to me isn't the stop sign or the road. It's not the road closure. The story is the people working to make it actually happen. Okay, this is where we're going to see a lot more examples, and I'll try to keep this as understandable as possible. But when I was in school, there was this theory called the diffusion of innovations, and then this is a marketing theory. I don't know if any of you have heard about it before, but it's a theory that essentially explains how people adopt things in society over a certain amount of time and through what channels, and think like early adopters and laggards, that type of terminology, that's what the diffusion of innovations comes from. And so in a communication system, in a city communication system, diffusion, to me, is ever-present because that's when we changed our print newsletter to a digital newsletter. It's when changing the layout of your website. It's incorporating new techniques in your communication strategy. These are all really positive improvements in your city, but they can take time for people to adopt and really get on board with it.
And real quick before he moves on, I just want to again highlight that one picture, you know, being the guide here, you know, that somebody had destroyed that bathroom, like spread feces all over the place, like it was an utter disaster. So we could just say, bathroom is closed. But we chose to do this partly because it's a little funny, so it gets people's attention. It also highlights that somebody did something really not nice and it affected other people. You know, our public works department, somebody had to deal with that. You know, and so we're sort of expressing that, again, being the guy, we're showing, look, here's our public works guy who probably doesn't want to be cleaning this up, but he has to because somebody was not nice, you know, and public works is usually one of those kind of unsung hero type, you know, folks within the organization, so this is a great way to put them in front and show people the kind of things they do.
And I will say, just I'll add the diffusion, the thing that really we had to get people to adopt for this particular post, was the humor, because yeah, like Sean said, you could just say bathroom closed, but to me the diffusion, the thing that we had to get people to adopt was finding the humor in the situation, and yeah, you are impacting real people. And it fostered a lot of real good engagement and got people to not crap all over the bathroom, so it had a positive impact. Again, try new things, you know, use humor when appropriate, not all the time. And I would really encourage you to trust the process and believe that your work will be done or will be seen by somebody, because sometimes it can seem that when you produce something, oh, it only got one like, but trust me, more people are seeing it than you may think of. And so this quote that I have right here, adoption in terms of the diffusion of innovations model, where people really start to adopt what the new things that you're doing. It happens when people start referring to the stuff that you're doing in the in everyday language. So I was walking down the street and we were shooting a video and we saw some random resident we said, oh, hey, there's this new program that's going to be happening. And she said, oh, yeah, I saw that in the city newsletter. And we had just changed our city newsletter maybe a month or two prior. So people really start to adopt things over a certain amount of time. But when it really does diffuse to your entire community, people start referring it to it. People start referring to the things you're doing like that. And it's really cool. It really feels cool when that happens. Again, this is our city manager, Kenna, right here in the front. This is a picture of her and kind of cut off, but our mayor, they, her and our mayor were meeting with Congresswoman Andrea Salinas. They were meeting with her and her staff. And to me, this is diffusion in practice, because you could take the obligatory photo of the congresswoman came to meet our staff, but we coupled that with pictures of them meeting and talking and advocating for our community. Because, you know, again, people are used to the fact that, oh, city staff met with the elected official, but showing them actually doing work has a greater impact because it shows work being done.
Yeah, imagine the standard, you know, three people standing next to each other, smiling for the camera. You know, that's the normal picture you take when the congresswoman comes to visit, but it's a much more active, you know, sort of guided experience when you're showing, sitting around the table, actually having a discussion.
Okay, and then I'll talk about, we shifted to video content pretty early on when I started at the City of Independence, because I have a pretty big background in video production. I worked for the OSU College of Engineering a long time ago now. And back then, when I first started the city, video was really starting to emerge as that leading or most popular form of content consumption, and it definitely is nowadays. And so we have adopted videos as a primary form of communication for all the different things that are happening in the city. You know, new park that's being done, city council recaps that you'll see later on, and for advertising open houses, we really leverage video as a key way of getting information out to our community. And so we've made videos on, like I said, all different types of community strategy, businesses, infrastructure improvements. And during these videos, we also try to leverage, again, our community pillars or our advocates to get in front of the camera. Like you'll see in this screenshot, this was a member of our parks board, and she was advertising our park master plan. And so, again, this isn't the city being the hero. This is our residents being the hero and us guiding them through the journey. And in my opinion, this engages and activates your boards, and it really encourages ownership, because then they'll see themselves on your social media, they'll see themselves on your videos, and they'll want to share it through their channels, and then the network really starts to grow. And because our communities are full of so many different types of people, it inherently makes it inclusive, you know, it increases ownership, and it makes it authentic. Rather than having our public works director talk about the parks master plan, we have a resident tell the story. Okay, this is a big one. So a couple years ago now, we started this new video series called the 60 Second Council. And because we were in this time when we were saying, oh, people can just go watch that on the city. People can go watch the city council meetings. They're on YouTube, that's good enough. But the city council meetings are 90 minutes to 2 hours. And I'm sorry to tell you, but no one's gonna watch a 90 minute video or 90 minute movie, let alone they're gonna watch a 90 minute city council meeting. So, to encourage more people to find out what was happening at our city council meetings, we wanted to just provide the highlights for our community. And we modeled it after 60 Minutes, which, you know, everybody knows 60 Minutes, the TV show. And so, by using the term 60 Seconds, we kind of are creating this pop culture reference that gets people to buy into it a lot easier, because they feel like they're familiar with the programming already. But it allows our community to get just the highlights of the city council meeting. It's inherently short form, 60 seconds. People are going to get it in just a short amount of time. And it makes people feel good about maybe checking out the full video, because then we always provide a link to the full video after it's done. And just to speak about the results, just last year alone, we had 35,000 views of our 60 second councils on our YouTube channel alone. There were thousands more across social media. So when you think about 60 seconds added up to 35,000, that's a pretty big impact. And I would really encourage you to do something like this. It doesn't have to be the 60 second council, but this can be easily replicable in your community, and you can do it just on your phone. You know, it doesn't have to involve a fancy camera or a fancy microphone or anything. It can just be different counselors or the mayor or somebody providing an update. Yes?
Somebody's feeling that.
Go for it. And so we do have an example right here. I'll show you what this looks like. Just again, 30 seconds of it, so you get an idea.
We
want
to see 60. Hello, I'm Kenna West, the independent city manager, and welcome to the 62nd Council Report, a video series we've created to promote transparency and make it easier for you to understand the important work happening in our community. Our goal is to keep you informed and engaged, ensuring that together we can continue to build a better, kinder, and stronger city. At Tuesday night's City Council work session, the City Council and Planning...
So you get the idea.
And notice the intro, why are we doing this? We're doing this because we want to build a connection with you. We want to make you better, more aware. You know, we're explicitly explaining to people why we're doing this. That's really important. There was a question back there.
Yes, thank you. So do you create like a schedule of who does the updates? Because I worry a little bit if it's counselors doing it on their own, there might be a little bit of a skewed perspective rather than just a direct, bullet point summary.
Yeah, so the way we do it, and I think this is why we have Kenna do it, I think city manager or city manager similar is the right way to do it, because staff, it's the staff perspective, staff are putting the agenda together. I think you just kind of plug the minutes into AI just to tease out the highlights or to create the text, but I mean,
yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I do it.
There's
no AI.
I can't
hear you. So she says she just does it. She puts together a quick summary of the council meeting, what she thinks the points are, and then they roll with it. I mean, it usually takes you, maybe half an hour?
10 minutes, yeah.
20 minutes,
yeah.
I do think it's best at a staff level as opposed to like a counselor or something, because you're right, there is potential for bias.
Yeah, maybe be the hero of that journey. Don't be the guy. So.
Once a week, once a month.
Whatever you do at council meetings, so ours are once a month, twice a month.
Yeah, we have two council meetings a month. One's a working one, one's a work session, and so yeah, twice a month basically.
But however often your council meets is when we provide a city council or city council. Yeah, and we're doing this for our budget committee as well. We do a modified version called 62nd Council Budget Edition, where Kenna goes on camera and talks about all the different things that happened at our budget committee meeting, because we saw some people kind of be interested in that a bit more in our community. So again, you can modify it to meet whatever needs you have. And I'll just go run through this really quickly. Humor is really key to connecting with your community as well. And so we had our downtown parking strategy.
So this is a good example here. So lots of people do downtown parking strategies. It sounds very boring, very governmental. We talked about it, and we're like, you know what? We're going to do a downtown parking experience. Because what is parking? It's an experience, whether it's good or bad. And so when we were talking about how to do engagement, get people involved in our surveys, our planner, Fred, had seen some guy on YouTube who does these videos where he plays like all of the different roles in the videos. He's like, what if we do, like an unhappy person trying to park downtown, do that. And it just, it worked. We were honestly a little worried about it because humor, can hit different with different people, and we were worried we were going to offend somebody, but we decided to take a crack at it. Are you going to show the video?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and show it, and I'll talk about it. It's like a minute and a half long.
I can't ever find parking here. Parallel parking. Oh, there's so many cars. Finding parking in this town stinks. Hi there. I couldn't help but overhear. But my parking experience wasn't too bad. I just parked over by the library. What do you know about parking? What's all the fuss about? He doesn't think there's enough parking in Independence. Why drive when you can trolley and walk? Why walk when you can drive? I just wish somebody listened to my parking experience. Well, now you can. The City of Independence would like to learn about your downtown parking experience. Feel free to stop by at the booth tonight or fill out the survey at the link below. Thank you very much.
Good job.
A few things there. One, what are we trying to do? Obviously, we want to get people engaged in the parking experience. We also want to educate people because, I mean, we all know, like, everybody thinks there's a parking problem. There usually is not a parking problem. And it was a nice coincidence that that opening shot was a very empty downtown parking experience to sort of highlight it. But, you know, and then you also have, you know, you have the other guy who's like, well, I just parked over there and it was fine, you know. And then you have the other guy who says, well, I just took the trolley and I walked. You know, so we're, at the same time, we're educating people about, hey, you don't have to just drive downtown and park immediately in front of the business that you're looking for.
So I'll just quickly talk about, not everything has to be a video or a funny video like that. It can simply be things that nobody else is doing. What we did, we started last year and we did it again this year, is we posted the highlights of our audit on Facebook. Can you imagine doing something like that? Last year, that generated over 60 comments on our Facebook. As you can imagine, we got everything from, you know, mismanagement of funds and all the classic platitudes that you hear about. And we really were diligent when it came to this. We were responding to all the comments, providing people with accurate information, and we tried to be really transparent with what was going on. But this was because, again, within our community, this just worked for our community, within our community, people were very skeptical about our government, especially how money was being managed. And so we said, okay, you want the audit? Here it is. It's on Facebook. And we just we broke it down into the highlights again. And we made this into like just like a simple carousel type post where there's multiple pictures that touch upon the highlights of the audit. And again, last year, 60 comments. This year we posted it again and it only received one comment. And I checked on the back end and they both posts received or were viewed by the same amount of people, maybe like 5,500. But to me, that just shows that people are probably, are hopefully starting to trust us a bit more. They don't feel the need to say, hey, Andrew Collins. They're like, oh, you posted it last year. Now you posted it again. You know, we're being more transparent.
A couple things on that. You know, social media is tough because, of course, you're going to get the idiots. But the approach that we've taken, because it's, you know, do you respond, do you not respond, all these things. The approach we've taken is, we're going to, if somebody asks a question that we can respond to with factual information, we're going to. If we recognize that that person is probably then just going to respond with some other idiotic statement. But the other people who are seeing that post and who see that first question and go, well, that is a good question. I wonder if they are stealing money. You know, and then and we say, well, you know, the audit is here and it shows this and that. You know, now that factual information is out, and if it's a reasonable answer, they will see that, we believe, and go, oh, well, that makes sense, and they'll move on. So we're not even really, like, even though we're responding to some of these people, we're actually kind of targeting the rest, the other 90% or whatever it is, and trying to get them to trust us. And then on these pictures, you know, so again, you could post your whole audit that, hey, here's a link to our audit, you know, go take a look. That's not going to be as good, kind of like the 60-second council meeting, you know, so we had six slides, you know, that was the first one. Then, you know, what do we want to make sure people know? What do we think people will want to know? First slide says, hey, this is a clean opinion. You know, that's important. Second slide says, city debt continues to decline. And then it has some detail about, you know, a couple sentences of detail about that. Third slide, grants supported major projects. More detail about that. The new public safety fee has supported the police department and police services. You know, and then last one, city finances are stable, but challenges remain. You know, like, what are those key points that you want people to understand about the audit and about your finances and about the government?
So regarding the response to Facebook comments, what about community pages when it's not the city's page?
We stay away from those. But you know, if and we have, I mean, I have noticed as we get more good information out there, there are, God bless them, those people in the community that actually do engage and try to provide good information, and so that's when he talks about diffusion. That's where you start to see some of that. It's like, oh, look, hey, some random person just commented something that we put out there about, you know, about the budget or whatever it is.
Thank you. Yeah, people really adopted us as the primary source of information rather than John Dick or Harry down the street, you know. So, do you want to talk about?
Yeah, so, we're trying to sort of give you, like you said, not the mechanics, but sort of the philosophy of how we're approaching this. And, you know, humor, we found a gem in Fran, our planner. This was kind of an unexpected thing. And But so again, housing, you know, we're trying to get people interested in, we're doing infill standards, you know, and it's pretty boring, but we want people to understand why we're doing it. And there's, you know, so why are we doing this? You know, we're doing this because the historic residential district in Independence has a real mix of densities. There's single family, there's townhomes, there's triplexes. It's all kind of blended together because it's happened over a long period of time. And ironically, our code doesn't currently allow you to do the kind of development that exists in our historic residential district. So that's what our infill standards are trying to do, is enable the existing development pattern in our community. And that was a real twist that we identified, because of course people were like, oh, you're gonna try to stick in a giant apartment building next to my single family house. It's like, no, we're trying to take an existing neighborhood and make it even better with more housing while still being the same great neighborhood. You know, and that was, Fred again came up with the idea, he's like, I want to do like a Billy Mays style infomercial, you know, for housing. And we're like, more housing, same great neighborhood, baby. And so, but you'll see in this video, we used existing images and maps from Independence to try to demonstrate, like, look, this is replicating or allowing an existing development pattern in a neighborhood that everybody loves. Everybody loves this neighborhood. It's like, okay, if you love this neighborhood, let us do it in other parts of town.
Hi, Fred E. here for More Housing, Same Neighborhood. Independence is considering a code change to add new homes in existing residential neighborhoods without changing the community feel. More housing, same neighborhood. Areas with alleys or short blocks can accommodate homes on the back of lots. A little change in the view, but there's room for me and you. Looking at lots near downtown, there's potential to create more housing in the same neighborhood. All the lots around downtown originally have the same traits, 66 by 148, short blocks, and access to an alley. However, over the last 100 plus years, people have used those lots in different ways. With this property, the lot was divided in half, and the original home added a second unit, a potential house for you and your spouse. Three units created where one was anticipated. More housing, same neighborhood. Most people think that new homes near them mean something big or ugly, and don't anticipate that it could be a place for a person to live snugly. A bunch of existing housing types can be found in Independence. There are duplexes, fourplexes, we even have small apartments. These housing types fit because they're similar in size to the single family homes near it. More Housing, Same Neighborhood seeks to figure out how to accommodate more housing in the same neighborhood, moving from empty lots to family spots. More Housing, Same Neighborhood. Here's how to find out more.
So you can see what we're doing there. You know, what is people's biggest fear about infill? You're going to destroy the character of the neighborhood. And so the fundamental message in this, you know, and I should add, this is not something that we sit down and spend, you know, weeks and weeks of time coming up with this. This is literally like Fred and Emmanuel and I bumping into each other in the office and just kind of riffing off of each other. But, you know, it's like, what do we want people, like, why should people care about this? Because it's going to destroy their neighborhood. Well, it's not going to destroy their neighborhood. It's going to make it even better, and it's going to be for families. It's going to be for your kids to move into their own house. You know, like, those are the benefits. So how do we express that? And I should add, you know, there was pretty whiz-bang special effects in that. But that was basically, I mean, a simple green screen that Emmanuel's used. Like, this is not high-budget equipment, high digital editing and all that.
You can do it on your phone.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my question. So I manage the Mecca of Echo, Oregon. HR guy, finance, everything. Fortunately, one time I was telling the news anchors, and I know how to edit video and write and all that stuff. You know, most folks don't. So you were just talking about it, John. Can you give us some tips, Emmanuel, like some of the easy tools that we use, maybe Hootsuite, you know, the type of apps, the Premiere Pro, that can give a small town like me an advantage?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we do utilize the Adobe Creative Suite. So, yeah, that is Premiere Pro, which is a video editing software. Hootsuite, which manages our social media, to publish it in multiple different spots without having to go through it individually. So you can just look up Hootsuite or Sprout Social or similar platforms like that. They're pretty inexpensive. And Hootsuite we love, especially because it, at the end of the year, it compiles a year-long report of how what your impact was over the year, so that you can go back to your elected officials or your management and say, look at the impact that we're having. It actually is working. So it's really helpful. Again, not it's inexpensive, and I encourage you to get some of that. But yeah, this could be CapCut. There's other programs out there that I don't even know about. I was trained with the Adobe Creative Suite, but even people who are younger than me or older than me, they're using stuff that is easier, but I find harder to use nowadays. So yeah, I'd say it's becoming more and more democratized, which I think is very helpful for all of us.
You know, Canva is a good program as well that we use for a lot of the sort of the actual like images, or if you're putting text on top of things for social media.
Sometimes I'll use CapCut to do a quick little video that I'm telling you will take me less than 5 minutes, and people lose their mind. And they're like, how cool, did you go to school for that? And I'm like, I think it's the free version of CapCut that I have. What's it called?
CapCut.
Even Instagram Edits is a really good one. So
Instagram
they're
edits.
Not expensive tools at all. They make you look
brilliant. Right, they can be free.
So we've got a trolley. It's wonderful. We want more people to use it. So that's great. Everybody who's on it loves it. We wanted to encourage more people to use it, but also to showcase how it changes the community. So there's a gentleman. He's an artist in a downtown gallery in Independence. He's in a motorized wheelchair, and he's got a great story about how he's not able to get around town without the trolley, and it's ADA accessible. And so, rather than, again, us being the hero and saying, look at this great trolley, everybody needs to ride the trolley, we had Richard tell his own story about how he uses the trolley. And it showcases not just being able to get around town for free, but that you can do it even if you're in a wheelchair or have other type of mobility challenges, and it's great. And then getting to the simpler versions, we wanted to showcase sort of like the variety of people in town that use the trolley. So we literally had an intern come in with her phone and interview people on the trolley. Just, hey, what you doing? Where are you going? What do you like about the trolley? How often do you ride it? It's like a 30-second TikTok video, even though we don't do TikTok. And it's awesome. Like, there's just amazing stories of these people that are using the trolley.
And that's us being the guide, not the hero. Richard is the hero. We probably won't watch this one either, but I just want to put it out there. When was the last time you really saw your public works crew, a video of your public works crew, or even a picture of them doing real work? If you can't really think of an example off the top of your head, I would encourage you to get somebody or yourself to get out there and document it, because, again, those are the people working on stuff that affects us every day, but people don't see it all the time. So we did a video of documenting what the process was like of replacing just a simple water service. We wanted to educate the public on what that process looked like behind the curtain. And I don't know if we'll have time to watch this one either, but we employed Fred again, because we had this, there was this tree voucher program through Pacific Power called Right Tree, Right Place. Again, we had 20 vouchers to give out to the community, and very simply, we could put out a graphic out there that said, hey, tree voucher's available, come down and get it. But to make it more interesting, we thought it'd be funny if we had Fred pretend to be Mr. Bean. And because Mr. Bean, if you don't know, he was a great comedian back in the 90s and the 80s. He was always getting into a bunch of different misadventures, not really much dialogue. And so it would be funny if we thought, what if Mr. Bean was out there planting a tree? And again, those pop culture references get people to buy into it a bit more because they feel like they're familiar with it. People know who Mr. Bean is. People know Billy Mays. And so they're just, it makes... again, that bridge is being built a bit stronger.
Let's see the show. Should
we show it? Oh.
can see the Public Works one.
Oh,
sure. And I'll add, funny side benefit is our YouTube channel is now monetized.
Yeah. Yeah, you can actually be making money off this stuff.
Yeah, we made what, like $12 last month?
$12? Just saved our general fund, you know? And I will say, a side note for that video in particular, we posted it on a Friday, so we had the whole weekend go by when the Civic Center was closed. But all those tree vouchers were picked up within under 2 days. And there were two people waiting outside the Civic Center before it even opened to pick up their tree vouchers. And they were saying, because we saw that video. You know, so again, the bridge is being built. So should we show the public first?
Yeah.
It's about a minute or so.
It's not funny, but it's still good.
Impressions across all of our city platforms. For comparison, in 2024, we had 2.2 million. In 2023, we had 1.5 million. And especially in 2025, we actually made fewer posts than in 2024. So it's not like we were making more content, it's just that more people were following our content and, you know, we were getting more bang for our buck. You know, our stuff was having a greater impact, which helps me because I don't have to bust my butt trying to get all this stuff out all the time. It's we can be more strategic with the stuff we're producing and push it out there, and hopefully it'll reach more people.
And how many people live in your city?
10,000, just over 10,000. So we're reaching a lot of folks. We can go into the back end.
What was your reach prior to this campaign?
So this is just 2025. In 2024, we had 2.2 million folks reach our stuff in 2023.
When you started in, was it 23 or 22?
Started in 22.
We had, our social media had, I think it was about 500,000 views.
Wow.
So you think about just a few years, he's been just sort of exponential growth.
And you can see we had, you know, over 200,000 website views, you know, over 180,000 YouTube video views. And that's not including our city council meetings. That's just all the content we publish.
I think we're about out of time. Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
We just have, these are just results of being, you know, numbers.
Yeah, so closing thoughts, you know, we've done a lot of the videos. You don't have to do stuff. You just have to be thoughtful about the message you're trying to convey. If we're